Welcome to Conversations in Cannabis. Today's episode features Bob Blair, CMO of Seattle-based Jones Soda, to talk about their cannabis line, Mary Jones. This episode was recorded online February 15th, 2023. Bob, really appreciate your time today, man.
Yeah, Nick, thanks for having me.
Of course. Now, I got to ask because, you know, being somebody that, you know, as a child who grew up with Jones Soda, I absolutely loved the bubblegum flavor when I was in middle school and high school. That was my go-to. Can you kind of walk me through the process of, you know, what finally made you guys want to jump into the cannabis market in the first place?
You know, it's really interesting being Jones Soda. We are the biggest indie craft soda brand in the US and Canada. And when you think about that, it's funny because that's a unique spot to be in. You know, you have a certain size of a category that you're playing in, craft soda, which is already kind of small and niche to begin with. And then, you know, it's a really wonderful place to engage fans, but your business kind of hits a ceiling at a certain point, right? And I think a lot of us at Jones were kind of thinking about how much fans tend to love us. A lot of like 1 in 10 households in the US and Canada drank us last year, you know, but at the same time, thank you. We appreciate your business. But at the same time, we're selling 20 million bottles of soda a year, which is a lot, but not bonkers numbers, right? So I think the desire was, how do you extend that business? Where do you go? And do you sell more soda, or do you look next door and go, is there an adjacent category where everything about this brand makes total sense? And it wasn't just cannabis. There was an exploration of other things that maybe the brand could go into. And this all preceded me. But once the board and the leadership landed on cannabis, it was sort of like, it just made total sense. I'm not outing anybody to say that our employee base loves cannabis. Our soda flavors extend so brilliantly into cannabis. Our brand makes sense in cannabis, but little did we know our scrappy soda making know-how would be needed in cannabis too. So there's just a lot that kind of worked out, you know?
Well, and you guys have been kind of the definitive source for counterculture, in the food space, let alone the drink space. Cause I remember, again, you know, kind of from my youth, you guys were the first people, you know, when you're looking at the cans on the, you know, on the soda shelf and you're saying, okay, well, what do I want to say? You guys had skateboarders and BMX bikers on, your can, on your bottles. And, you know, when you're looking at everybody else, they didn't really encapsulate what the culture was. Are you guys planning on continuing that into your Jones Soda, you know, cannabis foray with Mary Jones? Are you guys planning on continuing that kind of culture and branding with your labeling?
1,000,000%. I'm so glad that you know that about us. And I'm just grateful that our fans tend to reflect and know that stuff about us. And like, if you ask people about Jones, they'll have a favorite flavor, but almost the next thing they'll tell you is like, oh, you're the brand that put photos on the bottles. And, yeah, you know, I sent you a photo back in 99 and I don't know if you ever, you know, it's like one of those things. And so it's great. We are 100,000,000,000% taking all those things into Mary Jones. And so Mary Jones is fun. Right now, anyone can go on our website, Go Mary Jones, and send us a picture and get on a bottle. You know, it's just part of the brand promise. But we've actually taken this fan engagement, community engagement thing even further. We have, I guess it's pointless to hold it up in front of the camera, but we have this Mary Zine, which is a zine we publish. We've already made more than 30,000 copies of this and distributed them through California. But what it is it's like a 90s counterculture zine. It's in that style of stuff. But we only feature contributed content from our fans, and they send us stuff and we publish the zine. And then our market manager runs around to the dispensaries that carry us, and we talk to bud tenders. And if we hear that they're in like a really cool band, or if they're a photographer, or if they're like a professional skateboarder, and by the way, bud tenders disproportionately are cool people, like not a shocking fact, but like bud tenders tend to have some cool hobby outside of work, right? So we like to discover what those hobbies are. And we literally, I'm going to show you something that's going to not benefit your listeners whatsoever. But what we have is we then publish this zine. And then we have a comic book illustrator slash artist that draws their biography picture and talks about how cool they are. And so we have these bios of different bud tenders from all across the dispensaries that carry our products. And we just talk about them as cool people. We celebrate the band they're in. We talk about what they do. And so this is like, you know, 35 pages of bragging about how cool people are in cannabis culture.
That's so awesome. And I mean, you literally, when you're thinking about, you know, kind of the marketing in the cannabis space, there's not many people that are focusing that granular on kind of that first point of contact with your customers. I mean, bud tenders
are the most important people out there. You know, yeah. People that walk into a dispensary, even the most well-educated, cannabis-loving, I've been smoking it since back before you were neon or grasshopper person, walks into a dispensary and is often overwhelmed at the selection. It's like, whoa, right? And need to be guided in some way. And then let alone all the people who are kind of new to it, they really need a lot of hand-holding. And so, you know, the bud tender is really important. It's important for brands. It's important for consumers. It's important for everybody.
Well, and not just, you know, kind of course, California, absolutely a saturated market with cannabis products. There's more coming on every single day, but you guys kind of have that legacy branding and people kind of recognize, you know, obviously Jones Soda, again, me from middle school and high school all the way up through my adulthood. When you're looking at kind of how to encapsulate that legacy branding into what you guys are doing now, you know, especially in such a saturated market, aside from kind of your Zyne, what are some things that you do to kind of like outreach to new consumers and kind of that new niche market of people that are kind of going in towards the edible space? Because obviously edibles is kind of the largest segment that's growing currently right now in cannabis.
Cannabis is growing. Edibles is growing faster than cannabis. Beverages are growing faster than edibles within cannabis. So like you have all these trend lines that are showing that people see a familiar format. And once they get comfortable with that format and find it in a flavor and a potency that works for them, they're thrilled, right? And so I think the category tends to embrace edible innovation as it like really makes sense for people. So what do? We're mostly just reminding people that Mary Jones is Jones. I got to tell you, that is 99.999% of our job with Mary Jones is just making sure they know it is exactly the same brand that they think it is. There's a lot of people doing knockoff stuff, and we're not even a side company. We are Jones. Like I'm CMO of Jones, not Mary Jones, like the whole company. Everyone that works at Mary Jones works at Jones. The flavor scientist who makes all of our products is the flavor scientist of Jones, Sarah. She does all the formulations for Mainline. She does all the formulations for Mary Jones. So we're tied. We're one company. And what we want is for people to know that, you know, out in front as well. So, you know, our posters say same Jones, more Mary. When we do sampling, we don't make uninfused Mary Jones. We just give people Jones, you know, and we go, this is inside with weed in it. You know, like we're very proud of the fact that at 10 and 100 milligrams, our sodas taste exactly like a mainline product. Like they're unbelievably good. And then we have these other innovation formats that are taking that flavor further. So our mixing syrup, whoa. Like I thought people would like it. You know where it's getting gangbusters is in the consumption lounges and at the private parties where there'll be a cannabis bartender, you know, like they're loving this product in a way that I was honestly not even expecting it to be so popular in those environments. They're loving it. And so we're just really excited to innovate and see where people embrace it and try things, you know. Edibles are going to be coming out this year. We're going to push ourselves into candy formats and try all sorts of things.
Well, that's one thing I was going to ask you about, because I know that Jones Soda does have its kind of candy subcategory. And if you guys were going to expand kind of into gummies or something else beyond just drinks, what are you looking to expand into?
Have you had Jones carbonated candy?
I haven't, no.
Oh, my God. All right. So this is a mainline product. This is available. Like you go to a Tim Hortons in Canada, you're going to find these everywhere, you know? But they're great. They taste just like our sodas. They fizz in your mouth and they're delicious. Right. So obviously I had to infuse these. So our micro dosed carbonated fizzy tabs are coming out in Q2. Nice. People are going to love them. I just don't even know what to say about this product. They're delicious. They're portable. You can eat one for a micro dose or a fistful, 'cause they're freaking amazing. I think they're going to dominate. I think people are going to love these things.
I mean, yeah. I mean, anything that Jones puts out. I mean, like I haven't personally tried that candy, but now I'm literally going to go drive to
Oh,
go get
these
some.
are, I keep these by my desk for meetings, but I keep accidentally eating them all. They're like really good.
Right, that's a good problem to have. You know, one thing I do want to ask about too, especially since you're getting into the edible space. I know you guys have a nootropics line
Oh,
with
yes.
Mike Tyson. Is there a possibility of a Tyson 2.0 collaboration in the future?
Boom. Yeah. Our nootropic soda with Tyson was such a fun experiment. And the lines are very open to do more and to consider whether nootropics should be brought into the cannabis space and whether those additives are welcome. Like, it's all an area we're talking about, but yeah.
Well, because I definitely know Mike Tyson is going very, very hard into cannabis right now. So
Yeah.
I was just
Oh
absolutely
my God.
curious because yeah, he's killing it right now
Well,
in
here's what
cannabis.
I can say, and this is a brag. Yes, it is, but it's a true one. You can go to Mike Tyson's YouTube channel, and if you search not too hard, you will find me there doing a shoot with him in his backyard, and we're smoking one of Tyson 2.0's joints together in the video. My
That's
son
awesome.
found it.
Oh my God.
He
That's a
sent it to me. He's
lucky.
like, Dad, did you know you're on Mike Tyson's YouTube channel? And I'm like, what?
That's something that is a brag, but that's a brag that's definitely definitively deserved because
I was so excited.
I would kill to smoke with Mike Tyson.
I've had the distinct honor, and it was.
Well, and you know, that's also kind of a curiosity because I know Mike Tyson is you know, trying to do really big things in Nevada. He's located here in Las Vegas. I know that you had mentioned the kind of the success that you guys have had in the social use lounge. I know that California is kind of looking to open up their social use lounges a little bit further. Washington State right now, they're still a little bit underground. I know that you guys are looking to move into Washington State this year. Is there a possibility of moving into other states that currently have
Oof.
social use licenses because of that success?
Oh my God, yes. Well, first of all, California is where we're, been out for about whatever it is now, 6+ months. And, that's been neat because we've had time. We announced Washington, so our plans are very much underway in Washington. We'll be on shelves in Q2, in Washington. So we're very excited about that. I wish I was allowed to tell you the litany of almost theirs that I have. That include literally every recreational state in Canada. We're talking to somebody.
Nice.
We've been not shy in any way about our intention is for the cannabis line to catch up to the points of distribution footprint of the mainline brand to whatever degree we can legally. And so our phase one of that is every recreational market. Our phase two of that is even to consider some of the medical markets that, have the right culture surrounding them that we would want to embrace, whether that's like a Florida or Puerto Rico, where you might go in ahead of even regulation, And so we're pretty aggressive, and our intent is to be, the national brand, really the international brand in cannabis beverage, if not all edibles. So we're trying to just keep going,
As somebody that recently moved from Los Angeles to Las Vegas, I'm very hopeful that you guys finally make the transition to the Silver State.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, not to go too like down the rabbit hole on it, but this is endemic. Like, we can get nerd culture around this stuff, right? It's not news that the flower is worse in Nevada than it is in California, right? Whoa, is that noticeable when you're in the league? But what's interesting is how that does push the consumer who's shopping legally towards other formats in a little bit more of an aggressive way. And sure, your vape pens and stuff might be getting some of that, but I think there's a shift towards that edible culture very strongly that the locals, when they take advantage of dispensary culture, they're like, well, honest to God, they know a guy who drives to California and gets better leaf. They do. But they can't get better edibles because edibles need manufacturing. And so you just see that tilt in the marketplace. And like, if you think consumer first, it's not surprising, right? But then the tourism market of Vegas is amazing because you get all the people who can't do it at home and they get that touch. And so your home market's really important strategically for a lot of reasons.
Well, and it's also the you know, the cost of a fine for public consumption in, say, Las Vegas versus Los Angeles. I know it's a $100 fine in Los Angeles, $600 fine in Las
What?
Vegas. Oh yeah.
I'm
No,
glad I
that's
didn't know that last time I was there at MJ Unpacked, sitting right outside my dispense the hotel, enjoying my
well,
delicious products.
I'll say enforcement is very, very
I
minimal
hope
outside
it
the
is.
strip.
Oh my God, if Vegas is busting people on that, they got a lot of other work to do.
Yeah, but I think that's the reason why the kind of the sunset clause and the push for social use licensing to happen in the
I
Silver
would
State
like
was
to
so
see
strong.
that.
Well, it
Honestly,
are
like you mentioned that it's growing, and it is one of those things that's so interesting because I just did a tour out in California of like every consumption lounge that's kind of, I'm not going to say everyone that matters, but there's not that many that are kind of got their head above water right now. And we went to try, we really wanted to try them all, know what the vibe was like, see what's good and bad about each one. And I see the future, right? And it's not quite there yet, but I see it. And there's these little pockets of awesome that are happening, you know? And I don't know who's going to nail it. I don't know who's going to be brave enough to blend a liquor license and a consumption lounge license so that those things can intermingle like any human would let them in their normal world. But
Well, there's been some
really
loophole.
neat.
There's been some loophole touches towards that. I know that in Los Angeles, the OG Cannabis Cafe kind of had separated addresses in order to
And you
allow
can
alcohol
sit in the
consumption in.
middle and you can get
Yeah.
this from over here and this from over there, but I can sit here. Yeah, no,
Yeah,
yeah.
it's yeah, but I mean, from your perspective, and I don't want to put you too much on the spot, but do you feel like there's a certain model of a consumption lounge that you feel like is doing better for that type of
Well,
product? Like, would you look towards like the Artistry or,
I don't mind sharing because right now we're doing a little test with them. So plug. But we're doing Mary Jones Mondays at the Woods right now, which is, a wonderful retailer plus consumption lounge. And if anyone hasn't been there yet, you should go check it out and do it on a
Oh, yeah.
Monday. It's a wonderful spot. But the reason I bring it up is that we see a model there that makes sense, right? We're on sale in their store. We are featured for sale at their bar. But if you buy us at their bar and you buy our 100 milligram mixing syrup, that is not a single-use product, right? But we're not yet in an environment where they can pour one drink and sell you one drink. So what is the equivalent of that in liquor culture? The equivalent is bottle service. We know what bottle service is, right? We've all seen it. So what we did is we correlated the experience of getting a multi-serve Mary Jones product at the Woods to bottle service. And so I know that your listeners won't be able to see it, but if you buy a 100 milligram Mary Jones mixing syrup, it comes with a little bucket and it comes with mainline soda to mix with it, and you get stuff to do and you get a table service experience that makes sense as to why you bought this, and you serve four people and you sat around for a couple drinks, right? We're trying to embrace the tropes of alcohol culture because they're established, you know?
Course.
And I think the more that we can just kind of find those things and make them feel natural and let people drink the way they want to drink when they're choosing to drink cannabis instead of alcohol, or with alcohol, or instead of, or in addition to, or next to, I don't care. I'm not here to make rules, you know? Have a good time. So we're trying to embrace those. So when you say model, I think it's retail plus consumption. It's creating an occasion that makes sense. It's creating an ordering experience that makes sense. It's not asking someone to buy something in an unnatural way with the way it's intended to be consumed, which when I did my little consumption lounge tour, I was kind of shocked how many times I was sold something and then I was looking at them sideways. What do you intend for me to do with this now? You know, this multi-serve resealable thing that you have now sold me. What am I supposed to do with it? You know?
No, it's 100% true. And I mean, when you're looking at consumption lounges that are doing it correctly, I'm glad that you brought up the Woods, because Woody Harrelson,
I
that
wasn't gonna name drop, but you did. What a cool guy.
just a fantastic. Well, and the fact that when he was designing that particular dispensary, using a lot of regenerative farming practices, making sure that Northern California's flower scene is represented in Southern California, just a
There's
fantastic
two toucan
design.
birds back there, for God's sake.
It's true. I mean, like, and when
It's
you're
really neat.
thinking,
It's
well,
really
and when
neat.
you're thinking about West Hollywood in general, and you're looking at some of the consumption lounges that are existing in West Hollywood, I know that West Hollywood was trying to go for more of an Amsterdam, look and feel. I feel like the Woods is the one that really, really nailed it. Is there anybody, say, in Northern California or in the Bay Area that you feel like is coming close to that experience in Southern California?
Yeah, was that funny their name, but Mary Jane. has a wonderful dispensary in NorCal, has a consumption lounge in the back, and we were talking to them about it. And I think what was interesting about the culture there is that it's more of a happy hour experience, and it's a little transient. And I mean that in a nice way. It's not like you go like the Woods, people will go there and hang out all night. It's what they're doing,
Sure.
right? Whereas there, it was more like, let's pick something up and use it on our way to something else, right? As happy hour between work and dinner, where someone might have an alcoholic drink, they were choosing to do it with cannabis. I love that, you know? It's different than the other one, right? So there, I would focus on my 10 milligram single use. I would make sure they were cold and that they were ready to be served, right? You know, and so I think we have this piece of jewelry that we give people that's we call it a lid lifter, but it's a necklace dog tag stamped into a bottle opener. And you know,
Nice.
that gift makes sense now because people want to open it and drink it right on the spot, right? So anyway, for us, it's super specific to the place. We also love, I'll call it all my favorite partners. I love Doobie Nights up in Santa Ana up there. Is it Santa Ana or Santa Rosa up there? I
Santa
can't.
Rosa.
Santa
Yeah.
Rosa, yeah. Because they do parties up in their upstairs consumption lounge that in their backyard. And it's just, it feels like I'm at a college. Not a frat party, but somebody who's got the cool big apartment and they host all the parties. That's what it feels like when you're there, you know, and it's just awesome, you know, like somebody's awesomest living room. So I just like the very specific vibes that you get from specific partners who are doing it their own way and making it neat for their consumers, you know.
Well, and you—I mean, you guys having, you know, that tie to the culture, and you know, you guys partnering with people that are helping further that tie to the culture is an absolutely smart play. Hats off to you guys for that. I do got to ask though, since you know, there has been a lot of research now into kind of the entourage effect, lesser cannabinoids, terpenes, flavonoids. Are you? I know that you guys have your own soda line that's more geared towards flavor. Are you guys looking at producing any product that's terpene infused, or is that kind of an offset thought to, you know, focusing on the main product line and just having that be an infused product?
Boy, do I like this question. You are talking to somebody who cares almost too much about this, like a lot, right? So there's three factors going on here, maybe. One is for someone to really from an effect driven, and I'm not talking about psychosomatic BS. I'm talking about effect driven experiences in cannabis. For terpenes to have a role in that, the senses have to be engaged. And that means smell, that means taste in this terpene world. I have signature flavors. So as a result, if I care a lot about a Jones signature flavor and I believe that terpenes have to be noticed to have an effect, well then it becomes very critical that the terpene effect driven profile exactly match and tuck into the flavor driven profile so that those are symbiotic and really complement each other. Is that doable? 100% yes. And I went down this crazy path in the early stages of Mary Jones development to do that. But I'll tell you what happened. I hope I'm not, am I answering your question too
Yeah,
specifically?
no. This is perfect.
Because
Yeah,
I care about this.
I love
I
nerding
care
out
about this
on
so
cannabis
much.
science.
I care
Yeah.
about this so much. So I went down this really big path, and I'll tell you what I ended up with. I ended up with a situation where I'm telling the consumer to pick berry lemonade versus green apple versus orange cream, not just because they like the flavor, but because that's the effect they want. And now I'm isolating my segmentation to say you have to, if you want to go up, down, sideways, pick your effect, but then also pick your flavor profile. And I know there's a lot of gummy brands who are doing that. I know there are. However, we're already playing at the very edge of innovation culture, playing in cannabis beverage. And when I look to other categories about consumer choice versus, you know, purchase behavior, if you give them too many choices, the paralysis becomes crazy. And everything I saw in category data told me the best thing I could do was to tell a consumer, this gets you high. Which flavor do you like? And let the choice be simpler, right? So I retreated from that edge. I formulated a wonderful, just really straightforward, non-cannabinoid, but very high quality emulsified, you know, full spectrum distillate It's very high quality. It gets you high. It's fast acting. It's great. And launched it in 4 flavors. And we're about to launch a couple more flavors. So there'll be 6 flavors of that, right? But in no way does that prevent me from launching a special effect driven variant, which I probably will do. It will probably be tucked into this seasonal release calendar. It'll probably be something where we go, hey, this one gets you high in a different way. And we'll make the label different. We'll tell people what it is. And we'll let the core line be the core line, while effect-driven promise tucked into very specific flavors will exist in some sort of seasonal release calendar. Maybe we'll do it on our own. Maybe we'll do it with a respected partner. We'll see. Maybe I have things already cooking.
Well, as a connoisseur, I definitely want to see, you know, something like that, especially in kind of the more, say, connoisseur driven market, like say the Bay Area or Southern California. I don't know if Washington State, it might necessarily work. I don't know how, you know, how engaged.
You have that mature cannabis user. You have that legacy user. They tend to tilt towards the 100 milligram products over the 10, the more mature they become. So I definitely see an area where we could nuance certain parts of our portfolio to reflect those desires of our audience. I also could see a situation where we have very specific flavors that lend themselves to something, right? And I have been, you know, there's a lot of terpene fanatics out there who have proactively reached out to me on this topic. And I just, first of all, I just love that this happens. Like, to me, if I'm gonna open my LinkedIn and get a message on there that I'm excited about, it's because some terpene whack job, and I say that with love, is coming to me and going, I can do this, and I can do it with your flavor profiles, and I'm a big fan, and I can, and I'm like, yes. I always write those people back.
Well, I love that that's happening more and more now. Like,
oh, yeah. You know,
again, during the 215 era in California, again, THC end all be all. Now during the later stages of the 64 era, it feels like, again, more connoisseurs and more connoisseurs.
Oh, I'm getting a
alike.
Lot of these. People talk to me about this stuff all the time. If I go to a conference, a lot of people are coming up to me wanting to talk about that. I'm a live rosin emulsion provider, and I'm convinced that I can maintain the terpene notes in my emulsion, but still have your flavors be right. Yes. Yes.
and it's about time these conversations are being had. Again, trying to push cannabis from 1.0 into the 3.0 market.
Yeah, you're talking to the one who, I'm ready for that. Like, I just love that stuff. So anyway.
Well, and I know I don't have too much more time with you. I really appreciate all the time that you've given me so far. Again, as a super fan of Jones Soda myself, and now as somebody who is extremely excited to become a Mary Jones super fan, what do you see as the future of the brand? I mean, aside from, say, going into different recreational or medical markets here in the United States, or maybe looking at Canada, is there a possibility for, say, future international expansion into other countries aside from North America, like maybe Europe, Spain, Germany? You know, what's the future of Mary Jones look like for you guys?
Well, you know, I think the Mary Jones brand cascades on the equity of Jones mainline brand, right? And I look forward to a day maybe when Mary Jones is forging ahead with so much cannabis equity that people are, you know, expecting something from us that even lives well apart from that. But if you just look at Jones mainline, you know, 1/3 of our business is in Canada right now, and 2/3 of our business is in the US, roughly. And so we're very excited to take advantage of our Canadian opportunities and become international that way. Jones already has a pretty decent business in England, Australia, a couple different places in Europe, specifically Ireland, you know, where we already have some business going. And there is an overlap there of not really truly recreational cannabis markets, but sort of like a semi-medical, semi-recreational vibe market. So it would make total sense for us to kind of use those as a place to kick the tires first, you know, so we're looking at that for sure. And so that's kind of the mentality right now. We have a lot of ambition. With a small team that's got a lot going on, bringing products to market in the couple markets we're already kind of up and running in. So it's a lot, right? It's a lot going on and a lot of excitement.
Well, I definitely am very, very pleased to see, you know, my favorite soda brand get into cannabis. I'm excited to see that you guys have done fantastic in California, enough so again, to be able to expand into your guys' home state now of Washington. And I look forward to seeing what you guys got going on in the future. Again, Bob Blair, CMO of Jones Soda / Mary Jones. I really appreciate your time and really look forward to seeing what you guys got going on.
Thanks, Nick. Can't wait to toast one with you soon.
We would like to thank Bob for his time and being on today's episode. You can find out more about Mary Jones by visiting them online at www.gomaryjones.com. You can also find out more about Jones Soda at www.jonessoda.com. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll see you here on the next episode of Conversations in Cannabis.